And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just y'all, I'm saying, literally making it like cool to be a conservative as we save the world one soundbite at a time. A couple of quick text messages there. Chris from Gadsden says, you shouldn't complain about the DHS wanting to censor things. They're from the government and they're here to help. Oh, Chris. And then Rat from Athens says, if Jim Jordan was doing his job, he would have Hunter Biden under oath. Did you know someone who got a presidential appointment after buying one of Hunter's paintings and not a word? Gosh, Rap, it's all bad, man. Surely they're not doing anything right up there. They didn't get it done the way you wanted it done. Oh, my goodness. No, don't do that. You have no idea. And by the way, yes, they are leading towards the possibility of Hunter Biden coming in to provide testimony. You don't just do it all at one time. All right. I tell you what, I got a call right now. Let me do that real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing great, bud. Just passing the buckies, looking at all the black marks on the fields that burned up the other day.
Oh, wow. Would they have a fire out there on the roadside or what?
Yeah, it was cotton fields and everything that already been picked, I think. So, yeah, it didn't hurt nothing, but it made the ground look good and black here anyway.
Well, of course, maybe it was just they overcooked the beaver nuggets at Bucky's. Maybe that's what it was.
That's a possibility. It could have been that brisket caught on fire.
What's on your mind, man? What are you thinking about?
Hey, you know, you're talking about censorship and everything. You're going to have to find a way to keep your YouTube videos on keep going that they take down because of restrictions on your music.
It's crazy because half the time it's somebody in Russia claiming that we're doing something with a Ted Nugent song or something. It's crazy.
Well, of course, you're a big hit in Russia, you know.
You don't know. There might be a whole bunch of ruffians over there in Russia.
Probably trying to get out. but the thing I'm, you know, why are you wanting Swifties to vote, Phil? My gosh, most of them are under the age of voting. But then the other part of them, they're all a bunch of liberals usually. At least the vast majority of them, I believe, will probably be that way.
Hang on. Boomer's got an opinion on this. What'd you say, Boom?
I'm going to say that a lot of Swifties are older and are definitely able to vote.
So Boomer just announced a while ago that
I don't know if they would be on our side.
That he knows Taylor Swift personally.
Stop.
They hang
I did
out
not
together.
Say that. I said I worked with her.
They were besties.
Stop. I'm off.
I think there's a age category for Taylor. I mean, she's been around. How long has she been around, Boom?
A long time.
Yeah, she's been around a while. So there's enough people there who've been her fans for years that to where you can imagine they're not all like prepubescent 14-year-old girls. I mean, there's voting age people.
Oh yeah, but the thing about it is though, a lot of the younger voting age people, they're not liberals. I mean, they're not conservatives. A lot of these people are liberals. So even though they have the right to vote, I wouldn't encourage it.
fair enough. Okay.
But we had our elections today and our city elections and everything. I did my duty, so. Well, tried to get us some couple more Republicans on the council.
Wait, so is Indiana, is that purely local or is it you got statewide stuff too?
It was just the local elections, two cities in the county there.
You know what, though, you bring up a point. Allegedly, and I assume it's this way where you are, but in Alabama, municipal elections are considered to be apolitical. You don't have to declare a party. And I've always thought, you know what, declare it. Tell us, Mr. Mayor, what you want to run on. Who are you? And I would say go for it.
School boards are apolitical. Anything else is fair game for your Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever. You announce what you are.
Yeah. Wow. Well, but, okay. Well, thank you for going and voting with all the Taylor Swift's people.
I don't think there's too many of them. Most of the ones I've seen were still hankering for the days when you used to go out there and get your half pint out of somebody's trunk.
Oh, my word. All right, man. Well, listen, be safe on the road and keep us posted on how you're doing, all right?
All right, we will, Fat Phil, but have a good one.
All right, see you, Mayor. All right, listen, I am in number three of the Triple Dipper, and I'm going to go ahead and just tell you that there's some of the aspects of this dipper that are going to make some of y'all, like, if you're driving, just go ahead and put both hands on the wheel. I'm just saying. Don't turn the volume up too loud because, you know, And then at the same time, if you're at home, don't throw the radio across the room. It could break things. So here's one for you. The whole Dipper, by the way, is called Make That Make Sense. I'm going to lead off with this. Story from hotair.com. Make this. You know what? There's no way you can make this make sense. Boomer, if you can make this make sense, I'm going to be worried about your soul.
I definitely probably will not be able to.
Well, there's a headline. Do you want to read it before I even go on the air with it? I mean,
nope.
There's no way to make that make sense.
Nope.
Okay. Hotair.com, story that came out yesterday afternoon. California taxpayers are bankrolling transgender surgeries for death row inmates. He just wanted to die as a woman, I guess. And I'm guessing too, if they're keeping the metrics or they're keeping stats, are they gonna say they executed X number of women? I mean, so as everyone knows, it says everything costs more in California thanks to state government policies that seek to pay for endless social programs, things like gasoline, energy, housing. Turns out though that Californians are also footing the bills for prisoners who request transgender surgical procedures behind bars. Over the past seven years, the cost of these procedures has added up to millions of dollars, while the prisoners are then charged nothing. Says $4 million might seem like a drop in the bucket, but this is a matter of principle. You think people would want to draw on the line and sand on something. California, since 2017, has spent more than $4 million of taxpayer money on surgical sex changes and cosmetic gender-affirming enhancements for 157 inmates, including four who are on death row. Death row. Why do we care? Why do we care about your sentiments? You're on death row. Says the state has spent $2.5 million on, I don't even feel like naming the type of surgery, but you can imagine, and hundreds of thousands of dollars on fake breasts and laser hair removal and facial feminization since 2017, when California became the first state in the nation to pay for prisoner sex changes. The state corrections department says it has not placed any limits on the type of procedures that they can request, and as of early this summer, has received 1,000 petitions for gender-affirming surgeries from prison populations. Y'all, let me just help you, because I know there's a bunch of folks out in California still listen to our podcast. Y'all, this is asinine. This is beyond the pale. This is, listen, if old boy goes to death row for murdering somebody, you should care less about whether he wants to identify as a woman on his final days. He's on death row. He's a burden to society at that point. And there is zero way you can make this make sense. Zero. Nada. Nunya. Ain't gonna happen. Can't make it make sense. All right. I got a few more of these. That might have been the most egregious, but I don't know. Some of them are kind of funny. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down to some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, the one I love, Alabama. I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And I tell you what else. I tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends over at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that operates all around our listening area, covering a huge swath of North Alabama. Southern Immediate Care, I know the owner. I've known him for a bit. He's a Right Side ruffian. Y'all, he's got locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations in and around the Birmingham area. You need medical care 7 days a week? Southern Immediate Care, you might want to look them up, find the location nearest to you, and check them out. And by the way, this is who I use. And I've used them longer than they've been advertising. I've been using them because, I mean, I've been advertising because I went and asked them to after I began using them. So I'm just telling you right now, every time I've walked in the front door of a Southern Immediate Care facility, it's always clean, it's always professional, it's always friendly. They get you in, get you out. You can see you, like I said, 7 days a week. And they'll see all ages. I'm talking from pediatric to geriatric. It doesn't matter the age. They will see you. So if you need medical assistance, not for emergencies, but for medical assistance, generally speaking, yeah, Southern Immediate Care. You find the location nearest to you and do me the favor of telling them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Appreciate that. I got a bunch of text messages. Boom, they began flowing in. Mel from Huntsville. I know a conservative Swiftie who's in her 30s. She could be a unicorn, though. She could, but then again, there might be a flock of unicorns out there, or a herd. What would unicorns be? A herd? I don't know. What else? Graham from Meridianville. You should just have a Guess What California Did dipper. That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
This also happened in California. Oh, by the way, next in California. But by the way, there's a lot of conservatives in California. They're just outnumbered in the state government. JT from Lacey Springs. When a prisoner changes sex, do they get to swap prisons as well? Yes, actually. In those states, they do. Jim from Huntsville. First state, there's more? Yes. I believe that Washington and Oregon, and I'm thinking a couple others also allow this to happen. Michelle from Huntsville, she says, okay, regarding Taylor Swift again. She goes, yeah, I get it. But old Taylor's a lefty, and when she instas to go vote, the Swifties know what that means. By the way, I think I just learned some new terms. So when she instas, does that mean Instagram? Help me out here.
I guess.
You know.
I guess.
You're younger than me. You know all the terms.
No, I don't. Ask McQueen.
Anita from South Huntsville says, great. Now we'll see death row inmates appealing their executions because it'd be inhumane to make someone die as a gender they did not identify as. No execution until full transition. Oh, Anita, that is awful, but you may be onto something there. All right, I'm back in this dipper. I'm calling it Make That Make Sense. Some of the stuff you can't make it make sense, but some of it's also funny. Like this one. Story that I got off of PJ Media, Dateline today. So you recall that Starbucks employees around the nation have been unionizing, right? Starbucks employees around the nation have been unionizing because it's hard to be a barista. By the way, some of you out there are baristas and you're going to get mad, but I'm just saying, this is not designed to be a career path. Never. It's like flipping burgers. It's not a career path. You should certainly pride yourself upon making the best, you know, mocha latte, you know, the little designs in the foam, the whole deal. That, yes, you should be the best barista you can be, but you should not look at this as the career path worthy of unionizing in order to stick it to the man. Well, guess who's sticking it back to you? Starbucks. So I love this story. It says, Starbucks has a message for its 8,000 unionized employees, not so tacit and delivered. Sucks to be you. So the Seattle-based brewer of burnt coffee and coffee-based sugar delivery, says PJ Media, report a stellar quarter that sent their shares rising. Customers are showing up at the chain's existing stores again. Wall Street loves news like that. Starbucks retail workers are going to love it too because all that money, the story says, has Starbucks starting to get ambitious again. They're looking at growth, or they're talking about what they can do for their employees. Because generally speaking, I'll be honest, the things you hear about Starbucks is they make it good to be an employee there. Even though some want to unionize because they just don't feel like they're getting enough from the man. It's hard being a barista. I had to stir the foam 3 times. That's right. We had 4 people in line. I didn't know if I was going to make it. That's right. I had to pour the milk from the carton. Okay. Anyway, baristas, though, stand to benefit. When Starbucks is doing good, they pass it on to their employees. Monday, it says, the company announced another 3% pay raise. Okay. New benefits. Okay. Long-term employees are going to get a 5% bump. Okay. Unless you belong to a union.
Yeah.
Guess what Starbucks did? They went ahead and said, hey, all you guys, though, you 8,000 employees around Starbucks that unionized, we y'all had to have a collective bargaining agreement. So I'm sorry, we can't work with you unless the union wants to come back to the table and negotiate a collective bargaining agreement. So we're going to give a raise to the non-union employees, but we can't do it for you. Legally speaking, we're bound to the collective bargaining agreement that the National Labor Relations Board says we have to stick with. So the union members are like, wait a minute. We got a 3% pay raise last year because the union negotiated our collective bargaining. But you gave it to everybody, but now you're giving more to others plus benefits. We want the benefits and things too. No, sorry, sucks to be you. You got to go through your union collective bargaining agreement. We'll see you at the table. Everybody else gets a raise. I am loving. Make it make sense to me, please, somebody, that baristas are unionized. And by the way, Starbucks is not known for being a conservative organization.
Oh, no.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, Boomer's agreeing with me. Not at all. But there you have it. Okay, here's one for you. Make this make sense. You can't. You can't make this. There's no world in which any of us live in which you can make this sense. Make sense. Daily Caller. Dateline yesterday. New study by groups backed by left-wing mega donors claims that the U.S. military owes over $100 billion in climate reparations. Two organizations believe the U.S. military, in a combined study, believes the U.S. military now owes the world. They don't say who. I mean, who are we going to pay? How do I make the check out? Thank you very much. I would like to pay my $100 billion climate reparations. Yes. Who do I make the check out to? I'm sorry. Was that, no, how do you spell that? I don't know. Anyway, there's two organizations, one called Commonwealth. Oh, that makes sense. Commonwealth, what are they doing? They're redistributing everything. And the other one called the Climate Community Project, which incidentally, their initials are CCP. They collaboratively published a report which calculated the social cost to the developing world of the carbon emissions generated by the U.S. military's operations since 2015. To be at least $106 billion. Commonwealth receives its funding from a host of left-wing organizations, including George Soros's Open Society Foundations. While CCP, certainly not to be confused with the Chinese Communist Party, while CCP is a fiscally sponsored project of the Tides Center, whatever that is, which serves as an incubator for left-wing, left-of-center organizations. All right, they say, in their logic. And here, okay, and by the way, I'm about to read you the biggest gobbledygook. You ready for this? The report states the U.S. should, quote, introduce a specific military-focused climate reparations approach alongside other military powers in order to redirect government money that is currently spent on carbon-intensive military activity to a reparative structure project of internationally governed climate financial flows to the Global South. Boomer, would you please look up Global South and tell me what that means? It's capitalized. I think they made it up. Global South. Would you look that up? Global South. They recommend establishing a global military superfund in order to pass out the remediations and make direct payments to developing countries. No. Do you find Global South? Is that a thing? Is it
says Global South is generally seen as a home to Brazil, India, Pakistan, Indonesia, and China, which along with Nigeria and Mexico are the largest southern states in terms of land, area, and population.
Okay. They just made that up. I'm sorry. When I studied world geography in college, I don't remember anything about the global south. But yeah, okay, make this make sense. You can't. You can't make this stuff make sense. I'm sorry. Skip from Tony just texted in and says, Phil, you just have too much common sense to ever be a Democrat. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. He says, but I'd be willing to bet you know what should be there. Anyway, I can't. And then Skip sends me a link to a YouTube, which I can't go to because I'm on the air right now. But thank you, bud. Appreciate it. I'll take that compliment any day. All right, we're taking the last break of the day. We'll come right back. I'm in dipper number three. Make this make sense. I got a couple more stories. We'll see. Maybe do I do this? I think I will. I'll try. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. My grade from John should be huge today. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all, I've been talking about making common sense a superpower. That's what we're doing up in here. And I'll tell you who else has a huge amount of common sense in what they do, and that's the folks at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, y'all, ZLA Solutions is like epic good at just helping folks make their business better. In fact, that's like their kind of sort of motto. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. They will come in and do whatever it takes to assist you with what you're doing and make it better. They can help you with everything from quality control and logistics and warehousing, all kinds of stuff. But they can also, by the way, help you with staffing. They will find people for you. They will. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, find you the people you're looking for, and get them put in place. ZLA Solutions. You might want to check them out. Their website is zlausa.com. And listen, these folks have been with us since the beginning. I know them personally. I trust who they are and what they do and how they do it. And they're apparently really good at it because they're doing it for a huge amount of people all across our listening area and more. So ZLA Solutions at zlausa.com. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Finishing up this piece I've got right now called Make That Make Sense, and it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. You can't find a way to make it make sense. Here's one that just bugs me. So, you know, I'm a practicing attorney. I am proud of my profession. I love the fact that, you know, the great quote from To Kill a Mockingbird when Atticus Finch said, the great leveler in which a pauper and a king can both be considered equals is found in the court system. And yet, here's a story from Daily Signal. By the way, DEI, in my opinion, is just sanctioned discrimination. That's all it is. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's, Phil, it's diversity. It's equity. It's inclusion. No, it's not. It's you deciding who qualifies and who doesn't based upon their skin color or whether they're transgender. Let's be honest. All you're trying to do is up your glass ceiling numbers. It's not about merit anymore. It doesn't matter whether they can do a good job. Let's take a look at the fact that the Biden administration chose Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, not because she was the most qualified jurist they could find, but because she was the most qualified black female jurist they could find. Now, is she a smart lady? Absolutely. Is she, you know, qualified to be a Supreme Court justice? I would say so. But do you want that asterisk by your name where your skin color is what got you the job? Because what we're hearing is she would not have even been considered had she been a white female, an Asian female, a Hispanic male. And she wouldn't have, because they said the criteria was we're gonna put the first black female on the Supreme Court. Okay. Can she read the law and do something, you know, right? Story here from Daily Signal. Federal courts have their own administrative state, and they do. The administrative office of courts is what runs the business of the court system. You have to have bureaucrats. You have to have people who, you know, can do the administrative functions of the court system, and it's necessary. I get that. But the administrative office of courts, established in 1939, has a pretty narrow mandate to provide administrative support to the federal courts. Okay. And it says, though, that what we're looking at right now is the DEI aspects of the hiring for the Administrative Office of Courts has gone just way beyond what anybody would have thought of. You are now looking at right now, for instance, an article published earlier this year highlighted just a few of the Administrative Office of Courts' problematic diversity, equity, and inclusion programs where the AO has been touting its work to promote diversity in the profession, particularly along racial, ethnic, socioeconomic, and social and sexual orientation dimensions. What does that mean? Well, they're going to make sure they use race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and whether or not you identify as something other than your biological sex to decide whether you get a job with the AOC. Here's the deal. Justice is supposed to be blind. If you walk in that courtroom as a party to a case, justice is not supposed to know how you identify or what your skin color is. It's not. And yet we're going to say that the hiring policies for the same court system are based in large part upon whether or not you meet certain diversity, equity, and inclusion standards that the courts are not allowed to look at when it comes to the people who avail themselves of the jurisdiction of the courts. Make that make sense. You can't. You can't at all. All right, listen. What have I got here? John from Huntsville has texted in and said, Boomer, I got to be honest and say this is one of you. Oh, Boomer, he didn't like your performance today. Boomer was quiet today. He just was.
But you know, I'm quiet today. It's okay.
It's all right. We love you, Boomer.
It's all right. I don't mind I get a bad grade every once in a while. Makes me want to do better next time.
We love you for who you
feel
are.
Feel like you're. Oh, okay.
But he says you are not going to be able to diminish Phil's great accomplishments today and give a shout to your liberal bestie Taylor Swift. So Boomer, you got a C plus. He says, however, I happen to believe this was without a doubt Phil's best performance ever. It's Phil's obviously today's winner with a supersized A triple plus. Congratulations.
Supersized.
I don't want to brag or anything.
Supersized.
But I've never had one labeled as supersized.
This meal.
Can I have a biggie fry with that, please?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Biggie tater tots.
Yeah. Some tater tots. You're going to get yourself some tater tots tonight.
Listen, bro, you put tater tots on that plate and Phil's a happy man. Darlene from Gadsden says, good show, Phil. Very informative. Thank you, Darlene. Joe from Birmingham says, don't kill my mockingbird. Okay. And Missy from Falkville says, disagree. If you can't define a woman, you're not qualified for the Supreme Court. That's true. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. But she was the first black. She did break a glass ceiling, Missy. That's important. Because we all know that the glass ceiling is far more important than their capabilities as a jurist. That's just, let's keep that straight. All right, listen, great show today. I'm sure a great show tomorrow. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. You guys have an amazing night. The only reason why this show exists is for y'all. It's your show. We love having the opportunity to be on the microphone. We love the audience participation. And we basically love the opportunity to be with you every single day. All right, folks, listen, more to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. See you tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Hello, this is Nate.
Ruffians out there, you are listening.